go for it.
Did Aaron just say go for it? Go for
it. Comedy film nerds, right. Go for it.
All right.
Episode 422, grab it. Go for it.
All right, maybe we should go for it.
I think it's time. I think that's what happened. Go for it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Comedy Film Nerds podcast. Graham back from his surf trip, looking well rested, relaxed.
Oh, I surfed and, 8 days in a row.
Nice.
8 days.
And you were only there for seven.
I know.
Weird.
It's weird. It doesn't make sense. I don't know how it happened. I think I hit a time portal.
Yeah.
When you get close to the equator, there is a time bend. Oh, man, it was so great. It was so, so great. And as I was just saying, and I think there was a sound issue on the last episode.
Yes.
And Chris emails me.
Yeah. I was like, did we not level it? Like, first I was just trying to think, like, what went wrong? And then, you know, I realized, there's no way Graham can fix it. So I emailed Aaron.
Yeah, because I got this one email. It's like, so Graham, you think you could, do we need to fix this? And I saw this. And then I saw the other emails subsequent because I was not checking my emails very frequently all.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I can't. I can't fix this.
Oh, I knew there was nothing you could do.
There also wasn't any desire.
Sure, of course. Even if you could have fixed it.
If I could have fixed it, I would not have.
Yeah, I understand.
Just to the good listeners out there, thank you so much. But
yeah, we're going to make this announcement later, but the Neil Weekly Film News, we got a couple emails saying that the sound levels were off. So
I don't know. Get new headphones. So, I don't know what to tell you guys.
So we pulled it. Go for it, Aaron. Fixed it.
Go for
and,
it.
And we thank him for that. So it is now ready for your listening pleasure. And we want to also thank the new Patreon subscribers who was like, hey, this is pretty good. We're going to jump up to the $10 level.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Good. That was the point. We wanted to kind of give, we released the Neil episode for everybody. Normally that's just for Patreon subscribers. So we wanted to give you guys a taste. We do that every month. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. I very much look forward to that episode because Neil sort of brings us up to speed.
On all the crazy film news.
Oh, God. On why certain things are being funded. There's always a lot of like, what? Why would they make
that?
Why are they doing that? That can't be right. There's no way. And then occasionally there's a, ooh, that sounds awesome. So that's what you get. So thanks for listening.
So ladies and gentlemen, let's introduce our guest.
Let's introduce our guest.
A guest actually was just on a couple months ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've had Erin Foley. She was on a couple months. Was it, is this studio or was it another? Was it
no,
the old
it was
studio?
Here.
Was it here?
Yeah, it was here.
Are you sure?
No.
Let me quickly fact check that. Yeah. You are incorrect. It was in the old Disney studio on the corner of
Jack Warner did the first. Chris, you said that with such confidence.
Yes.
Yep. It's so amazing. That's so much of, that's, you're a good grifter. That's how a grifter. Yep, that's right.
That's correct. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That is incorrect.
You can check it if you want. Yeah.
Just checked it. We were not in the studio.
No, it was the old studio. Erin Foley, you have a podcast that you also do here at the All Things Comedy World headquarters, Sports Without Balls, which I've done and will be doing.
We'll be doing it in a mere hour and a half.
In a mere gif.
Yes. I took a break from my sports watching to watch a movie.
I'm sorry.
For you guys.
I'm sorry we made you do that.
No, I have to say, every time I go to the movies, I say, why don't I go to the movies more? It's ridiculous. Oh. So thank you for...
making you go?
Yes, making me go. I had an enjoyable time.
So, all right, well, let's...
We have two kinds of guests.
Thing. Yeah.
We have guests that always go to the movies and can't wait to do this. And then we have guests that are like, I haven't seen a movie since the last time I was on your show.
Yeah.
I probably average like once a month, and I feel like it should be once every... 2 weeks. Every time I go, I'm like, this is, God, I see a ton at home. Well, I should go more.
Keith from Keith and the Girl sees more movies than we do. He literally sees everything. Yeah.
He's insane. And then, Henda, his partner, sees one movie once a year when they come to LA to do our podcast. Literally.
Yeah.
Literally. She'll say the last movie I saw was last summer when I was there. I swear to God.
It's fun. It's just fun.
All right, so let's get into the big Incredibles 2.
Yes, and
we all saw it.
Yeah, we all saw it. And I will say this one piece of trivia stuck out for me. because it didn't make any sense at first. First of all, it was Pixar's 20th feature film, 20. And at an hour and 58 minutes, Incredibles 2 is not only the longest Pixar film to date, but also the longest computer animated feature to date. But this is the one that stuck out. Incredibles 2 is the first Pixar film to contain profanity. And I saw this movie. I didn't notice any. I'm like, well, this doesn't make any sense. Why would they say profanity? Maybe they cut it out or whatever. So I did a Google search, and the thing that parents were upset with were profanity were the words hell and damn. So that's... those were the that was the profanity that they were so upset over. So amazing. Like, even my kids were like, you said there was I didn't hear anything. I'm like, no, because I didn't hear anything either. Because those aren't curse words.
They are not curse words.
They're not.
No.
So one's a location.
All yes. I can say is whoever.
Yeah.
And it was just a solid good word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those poor kids.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. The takeaway from Incredibles 2 is the parents are like angry about the profanity.
She's like, oh, the posts were hilarious. I wish I would have known there was cursing in this movie.
I wish
like,
I
really
made
really?
Happier choices in my life and that this wasn't my focus.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I wish my priorities were better.
So many more causes I could be taking up than the hell and damn in the Pixar film.
Yeah. There's, the time you spent to putting that post on a message board.
You could have fed a homeless person.
Yes, exactly. You could have done some actual good with your life. So
isn't that the whole internet, though?
90%.
When people get bent out of shape, I'm always just like, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing?
Get a hobby.
They really
get a hobby.
You know, do some volunteer work.
Anything.
You'll feel better about yourself than going on Reddit and being mad about some free thing.
About Captain America's shield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Was someone angry about Captain America's shield?
They had to have been.
Of course, right.
Yeah.
I'm such a sucker. I'm like, what? Yeah. I can't believe how cynical yet how gullible I am at the same time.
It's so beautiful, Aaron. It's one of the things I love about you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
So, all right, let's talk Incredibles 2. Aaron, why don't you you go first? You're the guest. Did you see the first one?
So I saw the first one Thursday.
Oh!
Nice.
I saw the first one Thursday, and then I went Friday.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great,
actually.
It was
one of those things where I just never got... I never got around to it. And I love Pixar movies. I love kids' movies. Mm-hmm. And my sister, she started dating... Her boyfriend, they've been together a couple years now, and he has a six-year-old from a previous marriage. And so I've been actually watching a ton more kids' movies because of her. So we all went together to watch it on Friday. And I know, I was like, all right, we'll have that plan in place. So Thursday, I had to scramble together. I was like, ooh, Thursday night, I got to watch the first Incredibles just to give, you know, and I've always wanted to see it. It's one of those things where I just never saw it. Mm-hmm. So I thought the first one was absolutely adorable. I loved it. But I thought I liked Incredibles 2 more than the first one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I loved the plot of like the Elastigirl having to like take over and then the husband at home. And he was so charming. It was just like a fun, like you don't see that in like animated movies. I don't know. I thought that whole plot line was adorable. And it just made me laugh so hard. Maybe it was just one of those things where I kind of maybe rushed through a little bit about Incredibles, the first Incredibles. Mm-hmm. And then the second one, you're seeing it with all these kids. It was opening night. So maybe it was part of that. But I found back-to-back, I couldn't believe, you know, I did back-to-back Incredibles. But I thought it was just so funny.
It made a fortune, too.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's like something like $190 million already.
Yeah. Incredible 2?
Something crazy, yeah.
It broke off.
Yeah.
The Fandango sales on Friday morning just broke almost every record pre-sales.
Wow.
Yeah.
I saw it Sunday night at 9 o'clock, packed theater.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we did Friday night at 7:30 in Glendale, and it was showing in I think four different theaters every half hour. It was packed. I've never seen so many people.
We were 3:30 on a Sunday packed.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah,
and it was
because I think it's also I don't know. I'm not like a huge. I'm not even remotely a film critic. I go based on did I enjoy it. That's the only thing. The fact that all the parents and then non-parents like myself in the crowd were having just as much fun as the kids.
Right.
Like, that to me is like win-win-win. Yeah, I mean, it was awesome.
I have to say, I really, I thought it was really fun, too. Like, it was a fun movie. What I liked about it, too, is it had, it really felt almost like a Marvel movie. Like, there was so much action.
Yeah.
And, like, it was almost like, can you even call them set pieces if they're animated?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because everything's drawn.
Yeah.
Like, but I felt like it really upped the ante in an interesting way as far as, like, action sequences went. You know, there's runaway trains, there's motorcycles, there's, there's
stuff on a boat.
Yeah, there's superhero fights, there's supervillain fights, and there's all these cool things you would normally see in these other films. But, like, you know, when we first had, we got the first Incredibles, you got those things, but not at the amount that you got in the second one.
Yeah.
I thought the characters were charming. I liked the idea, too. I was charmed by that story of, like, all right, well, no, now she's going to work, and he's home. He understands that he has to be there, and he's kind of resentful of it.
Resentful but supportive.
Yeah, resentful but supportive.
Just because it will aid him in the future.
Yeah, yeah. So
but it was charming.
So I thought it was fun. The only thing I'll tell you, it was a little long. Like, and the one thing I found, because there were so many action sequences in it, I found that there was a little too much, like, talking. Like not even like dialogue, but there was like these weird long speeches in the movie, which is really unheard of in animated films. Like, you know, you have one character, I'm like, oh, this character's still talking.
Yeah.
Like, this is the longest animated monologue I've ever seen in an animated, you know, in any animated film ever.
Yeah.
So I felt like, you know, maybe we could have trimmed some of these monologues down a little bit.
It was long. It was long. For a kid, you know, quote unquote, a kid's movie, it was 2 hours, right?
Kids' movie should be 90 minutes.
Plus, were you guys at the screenings where they did the short film before,
which
I thought was so well done.
The short film, The Bow.
Yeah.
Turn your kid into a dumpling or whatever.
I was like, wait, did she just hate a child? Oh, it was a metaphor.
The one thing I will say that that was unnecessary is that did you get at your screening, like, the actors all kind of came
that
on?
That I was said, like, immediately, like, please stop talking.
Yeah, yeah.
I really loved everything about the movie, but, like, I could not believe that they had to come on the screen and go, we're so sorry, we got busy.
Yeah.
In 14 years. And you're like, I don't care.
Yeah, I know how hard it is to make an animated movie. I get it. I get it. And
I bought
a
ticket. You got me.
Yeah, I'm already here. Yeah. I know it's been 14 years. I'm still here. Now, I don't need the actors to explain it to me again. And then I love, at the end of this nonsensical segment is that, and now without any further ado, Incredibles 2, and like, oh no, now there's a short film.
We waited 14 years and another five.
Yeah, yeah. So
and another
like, well,
5 minutes.
It was unbelievably unnecessary.
Did you feel like it was one of those LA things where like the actors didn't, their faces wouldn't be seen, so they're like, we're going to need something in the beginning where they could see our faces.
But a little bit much.
I wonder.
The managers went, I need my client's face.
Yes.
I need people to know.
Yeah.
Especially Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah.
It's been a while since Poltergeist.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is that Coach?
Yeah.
Not still in syndication. So.
Yeah. So,
well.
So I liked it. The kids liked it. It was, I thought it was a fun movie. It was a fun, for sure. I'll tell you, Disney just does not know how to not make money this summer. It's unbelievable. Like every single movie that came out, even like, Han Solo was a bit of a disappointment. Still making hundreds of millions of dollars.
They have, can I ask you guys this? I did not know that Brad Bird was the voice of my favorite character in the movie, the designer, the little designer lady.
Oh, I didn't know. No, I didn't know that.
I didn't know because I was like, I was so obsessed with her character. Like, and then her scene with the little Jack. I found everything to be so funny and charming and smart and like, I loved it all. And then you're trying to think the whole time. You're like, wait, who is that voice? I was like, who is that? You know, that's always just like a fun part
Brad
of it.
Brad Bird, I mean, he's an amazing animation director. I mean, he also did Iron Giant. So he's just really, really good. So.
And he was the voice of the designer lady. I don't know the name of the character, but I was just like, the guy can do everything.
Yeah.
He's amazing. And he did Ratatouille, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a genius.
So now, Graham, you were not as impressed with this film.
I have an alternative view of this
yes.
film.
Oh, boy. Is this why Chris and I were the only ones talking? So you could take a dump on Incredibles 2?
First of all, offended by the words Hell and Dan. I went into
there are children in this movie
offended.
Theater.
There's yeah. children there. I almost walked out. I was so pumped for this movie.
Yeah.
I loved the first one. I have not seen it in probably 10 years. So yeah. It's cool that you watched it so close to it. I almost wish I had done that. My problem with it was the length, the 2 hours. And Chris, you were talking about the talking business. I was like, there was all this talking. The premise, she gets to go to do the thing and he stays at home. Fine. That was great. But they established a bunch of stuff in the beginning that then they didn't stick with. So that the opening scene, the opening fight, the whole family's working together. I love that. And that carries over all of the themes and the sentiments of the first one I loved. It was like, you know, it's like a lot of animated movies do this because their message is for kids, but it's such a great message. I remember the message really resounded with me personally. It was like, you're not a weirdo. You have a special ability. Embrace it, you know? Mm. And that was so cool. I thought that was so cool. And then they establish, superheroes are outlawed. They get arrested. They put in a paddy wagon. They're questioned. And then they got to stay in this motel for 2 weeks. I didn't understand that at all. And then she's offered this gig, goes to New York, then just solves crimes. And there's no cops chasing. I was like, how are they going to get around this? Oh, no. Her job is to, which was a cool premise, your job is to make people want superheroes again. Show them, you know what I mean? Be the, whatever. Great. And then she goes there, I was like, well, the cops should be chasing her, right? No? Like a Batman thing? Like,
yeah, she's still an activist arrest.
I think it's because she saved in the beginning, like she didn't get arrested because she saved the train at no cost to the taxpayers. it was a runaway train because that was their big complaint, right? You know,
property damage
and stuff. So,
which is a cool thing. And I'm glad they're addressing it because they did that in the Justice League movie, which is it's a legitimate thing. These superheroes, they saved the day. No, you fucking wasted downtown, man. Yeah. Like you blew up everything. Yeah.
They didn't cause it though. That was a big thing. We didn't cause the violence.
We didn't cause it. So I think all those elements were cool, but then it just sort of became, there's just a lot of talking and then
specifically monologues.
Long monologues. I was like, and I loved their relationship in the first movie, the husband and wife, and how they worked together and all that stuff. And okay, he's going to stay home. Great. I didn't buy. I mean, his resentment, I guess. I was like, all right, maybe. I don't know. I've never been married with kids, and maybe I would feel that way. But I didn't buy that. And then she calls, and then he doesn't go, our youngest kid's got powers. This is the most amazing thing in the world. And our daughter got her heart broken for the first time. He doesn't share all this stuff with his wife. He goes, oh, nothing's wrong. And I was like, I didn't buy, it felt too like two-dimensional married couple.
I think the
thinking behind that is that because anything that would have gone wrong or changed would be an admission of failure that he couldn't do it. So,
but how is admitting our youngest child has superpowers? How is that an admission of failure?
Because, and this is me just speculating on how it might have been perceived, is that, then I'm coming home right away because this is something that I'm going to need to handle and take care of. So it was something that I felt like anything out of the ordinary or different things that were going wrong, him having powers, like he just wanted his wife to think that everything was fine, no problems, no changes, no issues. And that was so she wouldn't come home because I really felt like it was kind of set up at the beginning of like, well, you know, you're not going to be able to do this on your own. You're going to need me to come back. I'm like, no, I can do this. If I can fight superhero, I can take care of the kids.
Well, I think it was twofold, right? I think that was one part of it. Mm-hmm. But I think it was also what I think he was trying to do, Brad Bird was trying to do was, you know, and it's a little hard because it's like a man, you know what I mean? It's like a man's version of what a woman struggles with. But I think he did get to a point of like where it was pretty good. Like, where, you know, you have this, like, even though I'm not a mom, I feel like an aunt to all these kids, like, you have such, and it's so hard to explain if you're not a woman, this maternal struggle, mm-hmm. you know, whether you physically have a kid or not, that anything he would say to her, if Jack had powers, she, like, I did think he presented it well, like, she wanted to go out there and do the work and be a superhero. But a woman's first instinct is kids. You know, you just can't physically, hormonally help it, you know?
Right.
So if he's on the phone going, Jack has powers, you know, it wasn't like almost like, oh, I need to come home and you can't handle it. It's like, I need to come home and see my baby's first step. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I thought it was like he can't tell her literally anything. Twofold. One, failure. But two, he knows she'd come back in a second, which is, you know, part failure, but also... If she does well, he does well. He can get back right. out doing the one thing he wants to do. So it was like a twofold thing. The one thing I agree with, though, Graham, is I did think it was too long. And if you took out some of the talking, some of the longer scenes, I did want them to be as a family going.
Yes.
For I did miss mm-hmm. that for sure. I forgot to say that because that was really the best part of one.
The you best know what part it of one is so heartwarming.
And yeah.
It reminded me of when Force Awakens came out and you really wanted to see Luke, Han, and Leia all together again.
Yeah. Right.
And we didn't get to see them all together yeah. again. Like, it was like, oh, but that was part of the fun yeah. of the original movie. And the same thing in The Incredibles was like watching the family fight together. You got it in the beginning. But, you know, the rest of the movie, they were literally split up for, I'd say, 80% of it after
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. they introduced some cool stuff, and then they just sort of abandoned it a little bit. Like, the young guy that's interested that, wow, when he's describing the dog, she's so confident. I'm like, yeah, what would a teenager with superpowers and super parents, how would she carry herself? That's yeah. so awesome. And then they almost did... Yes, she's still a teenager, but then they almost did too much of the like, dad. And I was like,
yeah,
like, fucking you're a superhero. Like, I almost got too, I felt like I was watching like Hollywood's, I get tired of this, Hollywood's depiction of a family, the teenagers always, you know, like, yeah. and I understand, yeah. but like we've seen it before. Right. And I've also seen teenagers. I know teenagers all do that to a certain extent. We all did it, but I've seen teenagers that are like above and beyond.
Yeah.
And I see how they carry themselves. And I go, wow, like this is okay. So show me more of that. Show me and I really like the whole family together thing. And I just thought it felt like too much Hollywood. Like you say, like, I think you bring up a good point, Aaron, of like, it's a guy writing the married dynamics, the woman makes the money and the guy stays. So I don't know, like, it just felt a little too,
there were some cliches yeah.
in there that I was
for
like,
sure, there yeah. were some. But I'll tell you, though, it was so charming that I kind of bought everything. So I think you know, when that happens, when you get charmed by the movie and the characters, that stuff, you overlook it a little bit more. And then if you're not kind of charmed by it, then they stick out more.
Yeah. I really felt like the analogy I made was Kung Fu Panda 2.
Mm-hmm.
Kung Fu Panda 1 is an amazing film that talks about, and it's a kid's film, but it talks about how Kung Fu is all about unlocking the best version of yourself and this inner strength. And the first Incredibles had not the Kung Fu thing, but that theme right. yeah. was in there. Mm-hmm. And then Kung Fu Panda 2 was just felt like the studio came in and went, hey, animals fighting,
yeah.
you know,
yeah, yeah, yeah. make it yeah. darker and less funny
and yeah. take out all the cool sentiments of 1,000 years of Kung Fu.
Yeah. Yeah. And take by the way, and Kung Fu Panda 2, take out the Kung Fu.
Yeah. Take out the Kung Fu, you know, take out the spiritual yeah. foundation yeah. of the first movie. Yeah. And I feel like this to a lesser degree,
Kung Fu Panda 3 was better than 2.
Absolutely. And again, I didn't hate this movie. I didn't yeah. feel like it was a complete disaster.
Right.
A movie a sequel that's 14 years later has a good chance at being, obviously it didn't come out 18 months later. Like it wasn't just like a quick right. fire, which is what I think they did with Kung Fu Panda 2. They're just like, oh, right. make another one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they don't think it through. But I feel like, this just it lacked the message and the soul and the family unit messages of the first one, and this the second one was more just like I don't know, like the big, like you say, the big set pieces, it was more, it felt like it was more about that and then just sort of cliche family dynamics mm-hmm. that should have been, could have been explored more in a deeper, more interesting way for me. Mm-hmm. And again, I know we're talking about a kid's movie. I know we're talking about a Pixar movie. We're not talking about...
I think that angle
Yeah, but Pixar
like,
movies yeah. are, right. you know, they're yeah. they're layered. They're not just kids' movies.
That's yeah. that's mm-hmm. why I felt a little disappointed mm-hmm. by, because mm-hmm. I wanted that layer, like the emotional...
You know, Inside Out was really an adult movie masquerading as a kid's movie.
That was, Inside Out yeah. was yeah. so that was profound.
It was super yeah. profound, yeah.
And I felt like this... I guess I was expecting more of that. Mm-hmm. Based on how much the how great the first one was, I was like,
I think you take that's a whole different film, right? I think you take, I think it, your the sequel you wanted was. I actually did, you know, if you're going to rewrite it, you know, I don't know if all the other superheroes are necessary.
Right.
You know,
right.
I would. I think that maybe like this almost felt like a the way you're describing it almost felt like a three. You know, and maybe you mm-hmm. needed two where, again, it's just the family, you
like,
know?
Like, to me, that would have yeah. been the closing scene of two should yeah. have been the, and here's the, all these other ones.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah. too, it was a very specific release strategy. Like you look at, like, the big Pixar movie that came out before this was Coco, which was ultimately a family drama and had all of these really emotional and poignant beats to it. Whereas, like, all right, our next movie is going to be... more action. We're gonna, yeah. you know, we're gonna yeah. just be more frenetic,
Coco,
more action.
I'm still recovering.
Yeah.
People, have you seen Coco? I'm like, have I seen, what's that? Beaches? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Coco was like a follow up to Beaches. It was. So, I was like I couldn't stop crying. But yeah, no. Though this is why it's really interesting to break down a movie. It's like things you don't really think about it. But I think, Chris, that was a really good point, too. It's like, yeah. if you're charmed, you're yeah. like, you're saying things. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a totally fair point.
yeah.
I would have never, like, I came away from it. I was like, how fun was that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you get charmed.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I just felt like I needed to stretch more. My hamstrings are very tight. Elastigirl, getting it done.
Yeah. I liked her motorcycle. I thought that was kind of a cool design where the motorcycle would like come apart to
accommodate her. Oh, that was cool. And they made it electric?
Yeah. And
then they made it electric.
What did she say? It was more torquey?
Yeah, it was more torquey. Which is, I drive an electric car. They are way more torquey.
Yeah, they are.
Oh my God, it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So that is The Incredibles 2. And now, Graham, you saw Endless Summer. Was it on an airplane?
Oh, no, sir.
No.
It was in Costa Rica.
Tell us about it.
So at the place, I stayed at this.
First, tell us the year of the film.
1966.
Yes.
The Endless Summer. So this movie was nominated for Best Documentary, and it is, to give it some historical context, there had never been a like global surf movie up till at that point. So it's these two guys, Robert August, and I forget the other guy's name, traveled for 8 months all around the world chasing an endless summer.
That's awesome.
It's awesome. It's fantastic. And
when you say chasing an endless summer, you mean they would just go to different time zones and climates where it was always summer? Mm-hmm. So like for the whole year?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. they went, you know, and it started getting winter in the northern hemisphere. They went to the southern hemisphere.
Oh, interesting.
And so... the cool thing is this, I was in Tamarindo, Costa Rica, and I was staying at this Witch's Rock surf camp, which was amazing. Robert August, who's in the movie, lives in Costa Rica. Robert August is one of the most famous board shapers. So like, just to give you shaping a surfboard is like an art. Now you can get some that are stamped out of machines.
Shaping or shaving?
Shape.
Shaping, okay.
Yeah, but you do shave it.
Right? That's why, okay.
So what you do is you get what they call a blank, a piece of foam, and then you start shaving it down or shaping it to the specifications that you want. So, and how you change a board, the length, the nose, the width, like it...
The fins,
this is designed to do this. Like... This surfboard is 9 feet long, so it's designed to ride longer waves. A shorter board that's like 6 feet or is designed to do more cuts and turns and stuff like you see in a surfboard.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's really cool. So he's there, and he's doing live commentary while we're watching the movie in the bar of this.
What?
Yes.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's amazing. It
was, and I was like, because they just said, oh, we're going to show Endless Summer. Like, they have, like, these events throughout throughout the week. And I was like, oh, cool. And with commentary from Robert August. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. And I was like, no, he's sitting there.
Yeah.
He's sitting there. He's in his 70s now. And
that's,
he's like,
awesome.
And so it put the, it could put the movie in such amazing context. They shot it on 16 millimeter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's these two surfers and Bruce Brown, the, I'm gonna look up who directed it. With a 16 millimeter camera. Endless Summer. There it is. So these two surfers, Robert August and Michael Hinson, were like 18, 19 years old, right? And the director, Bruce Brown, was 26 years old. So there's no, it's, so it's just voiceover of. So from a technical standpoint, they didn't need a sound person. They just had a camera.
Wow.
And these three guys, and they're going all over the place. And they're going to surf breaks that people had never surfed before. They went to breaks in Africa where they had, like, never seen a white guy, let alone a surfboard.
Wow. And that's awesome.
It's unbelievable.
How do they fund this?
Like, that I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where they got the funding. I maybe he mentioned it, I forgot. But he goes, they initially, they were just going to make this movie and show it at high schools. As
so
like
cool.
And when they showed it to people, people were like blown away. Like, people in Kansas or whatever, they all they'd ever seen is like Beach Blanket Bingo type movies where it's like really bad rear projection where they're on the surfboard and you can just see the guy out of frame throwing water on the person's face. You know what I mean? Yeah. With the perfect like Elvis haircut. Like, we're surfing, man.
It's and then, Gidget.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All the Gidget movies. And he goes, so there had never been showing how and catching these breaks and going to all these different parts of the world and we were the only guys out there. The boards back then were 10, 12 feet long. They weighed 40 pounds.
Wow.
They were like so heavy. They didn't even have leashes. I mean, so right now, you have, and it's attached to your foot. So if you fall off, you can grab. So
they'd have to go hunt down the board.
Yes. And it was like, and they went and they went into, I mean, they went all over in Hawaii. They went Australia. They went all through Africa. They went, I mean, it was just insane. And they're talking about like all they had was this little car. They had to like find and rent a car and get this guy to drive them to something and then walk down. And, you know, like they found this one wave that broke perfectly and you could ride it for 5 minutes. And they're like, it's the most amazing wave ever.
Wow.
And now he's like, yeah, there's a resort there now and a blah, 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 blah or whatever. Because it was. And so also Bruce Brown, what he did, there's footage of a camera on the nose of a surfboard. And everyone's like, how did you do that back in 19? Now you have a GoPro.
Yeah.
Right? You just suction cup it to the front of your board. It's easy. Bruce Brown invented the first GoPro. He took a 16 millimeter camera, which this is a hand crank camera. You press film, it films for 45 seconds, then you got to crank it again. Built a plexiglass thing around it and put four suction cups and put that on the nose of the board.
Oh my God.
So there's literally like a 10-inch TV, you know, at the front of your surfboard. And it's just like, holy shit.
And at that time, you know, that weight is significant.
Significant. But it's a 45-pound board.
Right.
But still, these guys had to sort of steer it and, you know.
Oh, he passed away last year, Bruce Brown.
And it was really.
And how did they literally, did he talk about how they found these waves or?
Yeah, that's the other thing. So there's no Google.
Right, so.
They had map books. And they're like, well, let's look at this coastline.
Yeah, and maybe, I guess, obviously just talking to locals. And But, I mean, you just said some of them have never even surfed before.
No, so like when they went to like Australia or South Africa, there was already a surf community there. And it's just like, oh, just talk to this person and they'll show you around. It's cool, but they're in Senegal?
Yeah.
They're just like, let's go to the
water.
Coast and hope it breaks, you know?
Wow. I want to see this. This is so cool.
It's so fascinating. And the commentary and the jokes. I mean, some of it obviously is there's like,
A little bit of dated stuff.
Yeah. It's like one of those Disney movies like, boy, when we're surfing out there, let's hope the lion doesn't jump on the surfboard. You know, like there's some stuff where you're like,
cue lion.
Yeah, exactly. And in the commentary, he's like, well, there was apartheid there, which we were against. But then they told us, well, you know, it's, they have their place and we have theirs. So I guess there's two sides of it. We all heard that. We're all like,
oh boy.
Well, Robert, you might want to come down to the other side of that issue. Easy.
Wait, so can I ask you this? Did you watch the movie and then he spoke?
No, he sat there with a microphone while we watched it.
Oh, wow.
And so you're hearing the narration that's in the movie, and then he'd start coming. And so then the guy, like at the soundboard, no, they'd just bring the sound down.
Oh.
And he'd explain where they were or what was happening.
So awesome. And you just like stumbled on this event.
Yeah.
It's the coolest. And that's why you travel.
I know. That's why you travel. And it's this outdoor bar that has a roof on it. Well, there's 15 people.
No.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. And it's amazing. In Costa Rica.
It's in Costa Rica. And then out there is the waves where we surfed.
And everything in English.
Yeah. And he's just surfing. And then the next day, he has a little board shaping place right next to the...
Board shaping or board shaving place?
Shaped. Chris. S-H-P. I'm gonna, S-H-A-P.
My goal is to ask that three more times when we're not discussing surfing.
Just periodically. Now, is it shaving, Grant, or is it shaping?
Do you guys shape your face, or do you shave?
I shape my face. My face gets shaped every morning.
Just like Silly Putty.
Yep. Just like a professional cyclist has to shape their legs so they don't, when they wipe out. And women shape their legs every...
Yeah. For, and it's also
and
for
wind
resistance.
We don't want
resistance.
To, but the things we do for men.
So then next door at his shaving facility, he then had a half a dozen of us. And it was just on the schedule of things to do at 9 a.m. Go watch Robert August shape a board. And he's just like telling us how to.
Oh, my God.
And you're just
awesome.
Like, so this whole, it was like this surf legend, surf history. And he said hilarious stuff too. He goes, the movie got so popular. And then eventually in the 80s or in the 90s, they put it in the Smithsonian.
Oh, wow.
And they flew us all out. He goes, I've never been to D.C. I mean, there's no waves there.
Just how cool.
Lifelong server. Yeah. There's no waves in D.C. Yeah. What's the point?
Why would I go? Yeah. It's like going to the Midwest.
Yeah. I'm sure Chicago's a fine city, but you can't surf Lake Michigan. So the hell with it.
They made a sequel, too.
Yeah, they did make a sequel. And this movie, The Endless Summer 2, which
same director,
out,
too.
Yep.
Came Electric out in 19. Boogaloo?
Yes, there was breakdancing. Okay. That one, they kind of go back. They returned a lot of those places. This is in 94. But I would, if you haven't seen this, watch it because it's a piece of.
I'm totally going to watch it.
Piece of history. Mm-hmm. And you put it in context of like, well, now you can go on YouTube and watch people dialing into all these huge waves. But people, and they got footage of the North Shore of Hawaii and people riding 20, 30 foot waves. And no one had ever seen that before.
So awesome.
And people were just like, oh. And so this is, if you want like a surf history, like documentary curriculum, I would say Endless Summer, Endless Summer 2. Then there's another great one, Step Into Liquid.
Wasn't Riding with Giants one of them?
Riding with Giants is a really excellent one. And
Surf Nazis Must Die.
Surf Nazis Must Die for sure.
Is that really something?
That's an actual movie.
That's an actual screen.
Surf Nazis Must Die.
Yeah, in the 80s.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to work that into a conversation this week. How about Mueller's investigation? How about those surf Nazis? Huh? They gotta die.
They gotta die. That's for sure.
And then just walk away.
And just
What did she just say? I think she just said surf Nazis
must die. She said that. I think I heard that correct. So it's a fantastic. Yeah, check it out. It was it was a really cool. And now you know how they did it and all that stuff. It was really cool.
Very cool. All right. Well, Graham, we've got some advertisers this
week. Well, how about
now? First of all, I want to tell our listeners, don't get mad. We have three of them, so we don't really always can control how many we have per week. So some weeks we may have three, some weeks we may have zero. So enjoy. Ready? Ladies and gentlemen, our first advertiser and a new one, Nutrafol. This is an effective strategy to take control of your hair health. It's 100% drug-free nutraceutical ingredients. Clinically proven and shown to improve thinning hair. Now, here's the thing. Graham, you and I have glorious hair. So
sure.
I can confirm I'm live in the studio.
But not everyone does. Not everyone has the glory hair that we have.
This is my favorite part of the show so far.
So, you know, it's not just genetics that can have it out for your hair. It's stress, DHT levels, diet, and environmental toxins have all been discovered to compromise your hair health. In fact, one of Nutrafol's key ingredients, saw palmetto, has been shown to support healthier libido. How about that? A little extra bonus.
Ooh, lady. Hey, hair and boners.
Oh, yeah. It's the name of my band's name in high school.
So, it's not a magic pill. It's just a great strategy to grow hair from within by nourishing the environment that makes hair happy. Like a plant. You can feed and water it, but if the soil isn't healthy, then it can't thrive. It's 100% drug-free, made from clinically tested medical-grade botanical ingredients and manufactured in the USA. No GMO, soy, eggs, dairy, gluten, peanuts, shellfish, tree nuts, wheat, yeast, artificial flavors or colors. All the things you talk about all the time, they're not in there.
Okay, got it.
And it also has two specific formulations, one for men, one for women. But guess what? You're going to get your first month supply with subscription for only $10. All you got to do is go to Nutrafol.com and use CFN during checkout. So that's Nutrafol.com. Use CFN during checkout and you get your first month supply with subscription for $10. Boom. Nutrafol. Get into it.
Let's do
Save
it.
Save your hair.
Get into it.
Come on, guys.
Come on. Do it. Get Graham hair.
Hashtag Graham hair.
I could use some help.
And ladies and gentlemen, one of our returning sponsors, Casper Mattresses. The original Casper mattress combines multiple support memory foam for quality sleep with just the right amounts of both sink and bounce. And it's got an average of 4.8 stars across Casper, Amazon, Google, and it's becoming the internet's favorite mattress. And you've got a great selection. They're all designed, developed, and assembled in the U.S. And you can also get pillows and sheets. And it's affordable because Casper cuts out the middleman and sells directly to you. And you spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable.
I slept on it last night after a week of a...
I was going to say, but a week in Costa Rica, that must have been kind of comfortable, though.
Well,
unless you're in a hammock.
Yeah, it all depends on the mattress.
Yeah.
It really does.
And when you do the hotel mattress in Costa Rica, it's not great.
Okay.
I'm going to say not great. So when I came home to my Casper.
And you were happy.
I slept like a baby.
Yeah. So you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. And so it's great. You know, you can try it. You don't like it. Send it back.
Yeah.
It's
100 nights. That's 100 awesome. 100
nights. Yeah.
Is.
And... here's the thing. We are not going to let you pay full price, as usual. This is a great offer. It's only applicable on select mattresses, and there's terms and conditions, of course, but it's $50 off select mattresses. All you got to do is go to casper.com/comedyfilmnerds and use comedyfilmnerds at checkout. Go to $50. You go to casper.com/comedyfilmnerds. Use the promo code comedyfilmnerds at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Get $50 off towards select mattresses. Boom. All right. We're burning through these, Graham.
I like
one
it,
left.
Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Mattresses and hair?
Yeah.
Oh, this God. Is, what's next?
This is... what do you think? Do you guys mail stuff?
Yeah, I
yes.
do.
Oh, well, there you go.
I actually do.
Stamps.com.
Ooh, I love stamps.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of you people listening, as well as you
I really
have
do.
Friends... You got a little side business on the side. You
a
got
side your, hustle.
You,
we'll
got,
call it.
You got a side hustle.
Got a
yeah,
side
you
hustle.
Have to. You have to survive in this economy. You need a side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're going to be shipping things out of your home. What they are could be anything from jewelry to macadamia nuts. You know, we're not.
I don't
who
know.
Knows? Who knows what you're shipping out of your home?
I don't know. You want to ship,
it doesn't
as long
matter.
As it's legal and it's between consenting adults. I don't care what you put in a package.
You know, best of luck. But now you could, with stamps.com, you could print U.S. postage for any letter or any package. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just click, print, mail, and you are done. And you can weigh your letters and packages and print the exact amount of postage every time because, guess what? You get a free trial that includes postage and a digital scale. All you got to do is use CFN for the special offer because we use it. We ship out all of our stuff from the Comedy Film Nerd store through stamps.com, and it's great. It's so easy to use. Yeah. And
I use it for my personal stuff when I'm cheaper. Shipping gifts for people.
You use it for that too?
Very easy, because I don't want to wait in line at the post office. Can't
well, that's, yeah, that's this is the way you get to avoid that for sure. And even you can do international too, which is great. Mm-hmm. So you get a four-week trial that includes postage and a digital scale. All you got to do is go to stamps.com, click on the radio microphone at the top. You could call it a podcast microphone if you want. Yeah, it's a...
Let's call it a ham radio.
Yeah, it's just a microphone.
Let's call it a...
At the top of the homepage and type in CFN. That's stamps.com, enter CFN. So go to stamps.com, click on the microphone on the top of the homepage, type in CFN. So stamps.com, enter CFN, get your four-week trial, which includes postage and a digital scale. Boom. Graham, I'm exhausted.
You know what, Chris?
You nailed it.
You nailed it.
I loved anything. My favorite part was anything from jewelry to macadamia. That made my morning. I'm glad I got up, quite frankly. I was debating whether I should start this day, and now I know why.
And everything in between those two odd spectrum items.
Oh, listen. It could be a ham radio if you're shipping items from World War II.
Yeah. You could be you could be shipping vacuum tubes, you know. Yeah. You don't know.
Of course.
I just want you to keep talking about random shit that's coming up.
Shipping typewriter ribbons?
Yes.
Using the scale for weighing body parts? You know. I don't know what you freaks are into. Stamps.com.
Yes. There's some guy that started saying, hey, vinyl records came back. Typewriters are going to come back, too.
Okay, sure. Enjoy your...
baby teeth? Who knows?
Rotary phone cosplay? I don't know. Whatever you're into, go for it.
So now, Graham, we have Patreon sponsors.
Oh, my God. What are they shipping?
They are, speaking of jewelry, we have Paparazzi Jewelry, just $5 a piece, paparazziaccessories.com/89078. That's paparazziaccessories.com/89078. The number at the end is important. Support Nadra Connor. And Johnny Rulon has his book entitled Green Chi, A Junkie's Guide to Street Magic. It's available on Amazon, both digital and hard copy. It's a experimental stream of consciousness novel, which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope and her immortal lover T.S. on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden places of a supernatural America. The website is happyhorrorshowproductions.com. And lastly, our favorite charity, Audacity Performing Arts Project. They produce after-school performing arts projects in poor, underfunded, and the lowest performing schools. Performing arts education is not a luxury, so visit them at cfn.audacityperformingarts.org. That's cfn.audacityperformingarts.org. Boom, let's get to some trailers.
Let's do it. Bumblebee.
Yes, this is a Transformers spinoff.
Oh, wow. that's what we need.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's been asking for this.
I hate the trailer before the trailer.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. A driver don't pick the car. The car picked the driver.
So I'm guessing this is a prequel because we're showing Bumblebee as the old style Volkswagen.
Between man and machine. Honeycomb in it.
Right. Starting off like any other Transformers trailer, a human discovers a car, it transforms.
Wait, are the headlights by her boobs? Did anyone see that?
Do you speak? won't hurt you. What's your name?
I hope John Cena's in this.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good for you.
You got people out there who need you. This is why you're here, B.
B?
B, yeah.
She called him B.
You know, B, music can help you say what you're feeling. Try this.
Okay, well, that should have been the first scene.
Okay. Yeah.
So
that was the best part.
Here's the thing about this movie.
Why?
I am going to...
Why did they make it?
Yeah, yeah. B, I already know without seeing it,
closed courses,
it's going to be the best Transformers
cars,
movie ever made.
Lots of stunt drivers.
Because?
Because Michael Bay is not directing it.
Oh.
And it is the director of Kubo and the Two Strings, who is actually an animation director. And if you noticed already, like, Bumblebee and the Transformers are already showing a little bit more of expression and emotion. You could see, like, that was actually a more of a focus. I'm like, well, no, let's make an actual movie and make these Transformers actual characters. So I don't think it's going to be great, but I think it's going to be one of the better Transformer movies because, honestly, the rest of them, kind of unwatchable. But this
So you're
one,
just saying it's going to be a watchable Transformer
yes,
movie?
Yes, I'm going to say this is as far as I'm going to go. It's going to be the first watchable Transformers movie.
I thought,
could be wrong.
Sorry, I thought she was becoming the... I thought she was inside the Transformer for a second. That's why I was like, wait a minute, the headlights were like right here. I was like, wait, she's inside and they made the boobs the headlights? For some reason I thought she, I can't keep up with these movies, whether they're inside or they're outside the activewear.
That I realized
she's it's separate from her. Yeah.
So, you know, the bar is so low for these movies.
Yeah.
And I really think this was, if you're going to do anything to improve the franchise, first of all, A, get rid of Michael Bay directing. That's the first thing you do. The second thing is you make a smaller story and you make it more about the interaction between the humans and maybe one Transformer and John Cena.
Are you going to watch this, Chris?
Oh, yeah. We're going to go.
What?
Yeah, we're going to go. Right. We're going to go see it because my kids are going to want to go see it.
All right. Okay.
Well, so, it's good that the positives, and I've never seen a Transformer movie, sorry.
Oh, you're not missing anything.
Is that there's, you know, there's a feminine touch.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lady lead. What's that actress's name?
I don't know.
Haley Steinfeld. And mm-hmm. the Transformer was...
Bumblebee.
A bumblebee.
Mm-hmm. So I think again, then, bar being very low, but I'm going to go on record saying best Transformers movie ever made.
A bold right out of the gate.
Stamps.com. Surf Nazis must die.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. I don't know what has gotten into you, but yeah. We're going to watch this next trailer.
This is the Girl in the Spider's Web.
I do not want to watch an ad for Wells Fargo.
Please stop doing the trailers before the trailers. I hate it.
Sorry, I said those things.
I always get surprised when the MGM logo comes up. I'm like, oh, this must be in the library before they went bankrupt.
Who the hell are you?
It's not heavy-handed at all.
Isn't smoking in the library
definitely not cultural.
I'm a fan of yours.
The Dark Avenging Angel.
The CEO who beat up two prostitutes, but then got acquitted in court yesterday.
Get me down!
I'm transferring 20% of your cash to these two girls.
I'm calling down to security.
The rest, I'm transferring to your wife. Account number.
Don't!
5-1-9-1-2.
Take your child and leave. He won't hurt you again. Mr. Chen has bankrolled your company for years. Isn't this his wife?
You bitch!
You try to contact your wife again, or if anything unexpected should happen to her, this video will be sent to him.
This is the most uninteresting thriller I've ever seen.
Are you not Lisbeth Salander, the writer of Wrongs?
This is girl with the dragon tattoo.
The girl who hurts men, who hurt women.
Who's this actress playing?
It's a new actress. It's not, Rumi Mara was the original one? Yeah, I don't know who she is.
Me?
Of Claire Foy.
Why is it this book? Why is it spiders don't get stuck in the wrong webs?
I love the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo movies, and I love both the actresses that played them in the...
There was Swedish version, then there was American version.
I liked both of them. I don't know what this
is. Well, here's what happened. There was an original trilogy that Stieg Larsson wrote, and then they, quote, discovered more material. So another writer came in and wrote two more books, and that's what this movie is based on. The first of the two books that Stieg Larsson never passed away before he wrote. So
sometimes discoveries aren't good ideas.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where, like, even just watching that trailer, I'm like, well, this doesn't really have any of the moments or pieces or intrigue that the original books or even the original movies had. Because I read the first three books, but I'm like, you know, even after watching that, I'm like, oh, well, maybe the books, but I don't want to see, I don't want to read the other books either.
Both versions were really good. And the intrigue and the, like, the... You know, her investigative and her revenge was so awesome. This just seems like...
Revenge
killing.
How many American Girl with a Dragon Tattoo movies did they make? Did they ever make a sequel?
No, just the one.
I thought, yeah. But whereas the Swedish ones, they made all three, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is interesting. So, you know, here in this country, we got the first one. Then we didn't get the next two. And now we're getting, like, the fourth one. So I'm not sure.
It really speaks to, like, the power of a trailer, because that trailer did nothing. It's not a genre I'm really interested in, but I read the first book, and then I was done after that, and I did see the American movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was absolutely confusing.
Yes.
None of it was even remotely interesting. I couldn't follow any of the through line. And it would never convince me to go see that movie.
And the next two books are actually really good, but it's like one long story. So it's interesting the way, like, the first book is kind of a self-contained story, whereas the next two are like kind of a part one and part two, where it's like, oh, well, this second book ends right in the middle of the story.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, when they had the movies, you could really tell it was like, okay, well, now the second movie is part one, third movie is part two. But it really feels like, you know, stop at three. You know, we had a great trilogy. I don't know if we needed four
she
and five.
She also looked so weird. It almost looked like they were trying to make, like, a Supernatural something.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if I don't know the Dragon Tattoo movies at all and I just see that trailer, I think she has a superpower.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. She just looked so
Well,
creepy.
How ham-handed was that at the beginning? We're like, oh, the Avenging Angel. She's literally in front of a statue with wings. I'm like, it's
also
a little
it was off-putting because she was smoking in front of books and I thought she was in a library and I got extremely distracted.
Yeah.
So
never
whoever
smoke.
Got that trailer was it was terrible.
Never smoke in a library, guys.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even do basic editing on my own computers, but so I shouldn't talk. But, you know, the whole point of a trailer is, like, you go, oh, God, I got to see that.
Right.
It's super important because there's 8,000 movies being produced. Yes. So the trailer has to be captivating.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give that an F minus.
And they, yeah. Well, then it's just, there is, as you say, that's like, what's the storyline? Oh, it's just explosions and guns and lines and people saying, oh, this spider, how does it find its own house or whatever she said.
Yeah, and then
I pick Bumblebee out of those two.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll go with Bumblebee. I understood it.
I understand what Bumblebee is.
I get it.
I get it. All right. We're going to have to go see Bumblebee. All
right.
And maybe do a spoiler.
No, Chris. It's not going to happen. Someone's going to have to give us $1,000 for me to go see Bumblebee and then talk about it.
I hope that happens. I hope okay. that we should, we'll make that a.
If I had extra money.
We'll make that a.
I would put it to that.
We'll make that a Bumblebee Patreon tier
sure,
for 1 month.
Fine. Whatever. All right. Coming out on the VOD and the DVD.
Yeah, Pacific Rim Uprising. I got Maze Runnered on this movie. Not happy about it. Really did not like it. Was really looking forward to it.
The first one we liked. I liked the first one.
Really liked the first one. It was really fun. This one, you know, generally when you have a movie about giant robots fighting monsters, that's kind of what you want to see. You know, you shouldn't maybe wait until the last 10 minutes of the movie to actually get to see that. Nice. So not good. Paul, Apostle of Christ. I don't know if you've seen this one, Graham, but it's about Paul, and he's an apostle of Christ.
Okay, so this is a Transformer prequel?
Yes, this is. He's a Trans Am.
And it gets revealed during the Last Supper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, Paul, is that you?
Yeah. All you got to know is Jim Caviezel's in it. That's a
again.
Yes,
he's the only guy that gets to do Jesus movie.
Yeah, no, he's in. No, if there's a Jesus movie, there's always somebody that goes, "Get me Jim Caviezel," and then he goes, "I'm free."
When are we gonna have like a Jim Caviezel holiday? Like it's Jim Caviezel Day.
Yeah, and December 24th.
Yeah, well, yeah, that should be that's Christmas
or the
26th. Eve. Yeah, yeah, one of those. we could squeeze him in.
Holiday bus schedule on Jim Caviezel Day, guys.
And the next movie is Unsane. Now, I thought you saw it. We either had a guest see it or you saw it.
I did not see this.
This was a kind of a thriller horror movie, but I believe, if I remember correctly, the guest actually liked it. Where
they went to a special, they went to a screening of it or something. Yeah, they did like it.
And it was the kind of movie that I like the premise of, like, is someone going crazy or is there something weird or supernatural actually going on or is this all in somebody's head? Like, I like that setup. So
it's like our government.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is all of it.
Oh,
we are going insane. Inside our heads.
Yeah. I wish it was going on just inside my head.
I know.
I really do. okay. And the site spotlight. Excuse me. And the fan feedback. Like we said, the weekly film news is fixed. But I want to mention this. We have new t-shirts coming, Graham.
Ooh. Yay!
New logo!
We got a really cool new logo. It's kind of Ramonesy, which
Ramonesian.
Is cool. Yeah, yeah. It's Ramonesy, and it's the CFN shield with like kind of a, like a two-headed eagle on it. It's really cool, holding like a microphone and a film camera. We're working on those. We're getting them manufactured now, so they should be in the store probably in a couple of weeks.
Is it a radio microphone that the two-headed is?
It is. It is a radio microphone.
Covered in a spider web.
Yeah.
Wow. That watch revenge.
Is it a spider web? Kill yourself.
Oh, jump off the ledge.
Yeah.
And both of them fall off the ledge. End the movie early.
So we appreciate it, and we also appreciate you guys supporting the store. Like we said, you know, earbuds is available, and we have the signed DVDs, we have the downloads, and we are also liquidating our old CFN shirts, so there's some left. You know, guess what somebody bought last week?
What?
A Whistling Bane shirt.
Well, God bless
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we have a few of those left. A lot of girlies left. A lot of girlies left. But
Whistling Bane girly tees. You know, the Banes are probably going to go back on tour, guys. So you're going to want to get your shirt.
Yeah, you're going to want to step onto that bandwagon, as well as we have Make Gotham Great Again shirts.
Yes, we do.
From Political Vigilante, from Graham's other site. So, all right.
Jurassic World is coming out this week.
Yes. I wonder if that'll make any money.
We talk about this a lot. Normally, when these big blockbusters, I'm already going to see this. I love these movies. Whatever.
Right.
They're fun.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to keep making trailer after trailer after trailer.
Right.
Until I saw the latest one that's like, no park, no one's safe. And then there's a giant 300-foot whale dinosaur attacking a surfer on a 50-foot wave.
Right.
I've gotten more excited for this movie. I was already going to see it, but now it's just, they have finally, I mean, it's the same story every time.
Right.
They've jumped the whale.
Yeah. They've dinosaurs get loose.
They took the shot from The Shallows, and then they just put a dinosaur instead of a shark in it.
I mean, I'm all for it.
Oh, I'm all in with this. I'm super pumped. I love those. I'll see any dinosaur movie.
And now they're just cut loose on planet Earth, just murdering everybody? Go for it.
Can't wait.
Yes.
I hope it's like an island resort, too, where it's like everyone's trapped on the island.
Ooh, that's fun.
It's like, you know, it's Catalina. You know?
Enjoy your honeymoon.
Yeah.
5, 4, 3, 2. Yeah.
Oh. Holy crap.
Yeah, we only have golf courts and we only have golf carts and tourist boats.
Yeah.
That's it.
You're dead.
So the next movie is Damsel. This is a Western. Don't know much more about it than that. But it's a Western. And the next movie is The King. This is a really interesting idea for a documentary. This documentary transposes Elvis's life and his music with the current political climate.
Huh?
Exactly. What? Like the trailer, I'm watching the trailer, I'm like, this is a really interesting idea. And I'm watching the trailer, it kind of works. And then it also, it's like this feels like two things forced together that don't really match.
So I don't even know how to visualize that.
I'm just, so what, the Korea summit is like a hunga burning.
Yeah. And it's like
the tweets.
Like Elvis's life and his music is like a metaphor for America and how we got here. Like, okay. we're all
on Percocets eating Twinkies? Yeah.
I guess. About to all die on the toilet?
Yeah. We were once young and beautiful.
And now we're bloated, dead on a toilet. Yep.
And we're going to all be buried in our mansions.
So. Yeah. That's, it is.
So,
yeah,
so it, it's,
it sounds fun.
I really recommend checking out the trailer because it's very unique. Like where it's like you wouldn't expect these things to be put together in any type of coherent fashion. So
you learn about Elvis though, like his life or
yeah, it's a mix. It's like, okay. It's a weird mashup of like, you know, Elvis and his life. And then, you know, what's going on in the climate, political climate of America. So
I was born as a son of a sharecropper.
Yeah.
And that's when the Illuminati started taking over Congress.
Yeah. That's kind of what it feels like.
Yeah. Praying for a sequel.
So I really recommend checking out the trailer.
Okay.
Because it's, like I said, it's really unique. So, all right, Graham.
We did it.
I believe that's our show.
Episode 422. Mm-hmm. Aaron Foley, where can people listen, watch, view you, shows? What do you got cooking?
Well, thank you for having me. I always love doing the show. I learn a lot about fun movies. So that's number one. AaronKFoley.com is my website, which I hardly update, and I need to do it. I want to brag about that. And then, if you're a sports fan or stories about sports, it's sportswithoutballs.com is the website, which I have to get up. But it's on iTunes. I've done 207 today. It's my sweet labor of love. So Sports Without Balls, free on iTunes, on all things comedy. And
I've been on the show several times. I love the show.
It's just fun.
I love your whole premise. I love Carol.
Carol's my assistant, my fact checker. She's terrible. Absolutely terrible at her job. Just the worst. Comes in drunk every podcast. But she has fans.
So you can't fire her. She's got fans. You can't fire her.
Yeah.
It's part of the show.
Yeah. No, yeah. So that's, that's it.
Nice.
All right.
I'm doing the Progressive Comedy Tour with Ron Placone this week, June 20th through the 24th. We are going to Nashville, Huntsville, Asheville, Louisville, and Atlanta. Go to GrahamElwood.com for all of the ticketing, ticket web, all that business. Go there, GrahamElwood.com. Some of the venues are nice, intimate venues, so they're selling out quickly. So get your tickets now.
Awesome.
Do it.
And I just wanted to give you guys another update on the graphic novel. We are still at proof stage. It is almost, the digital copy is almost done for Long Ago and Far Away. And then we'll be printing the hard copies as soon as that is done. It's, you know, these last couple weeks are like excruciating. Like, I just want it done, but it's always, you know, we're working on indie schedule with indie budget, so it's always taking a little bit longer. So, but we're almost there, almost at the finish line. So thanks again for all your support.
Yeah.
And check out the Patreon.
Do that. All right.
That's our show.
That's our show. We'll have a Jurassic World spoiler up on top of a regular episode next week.
Yes.
The dinosaurs die. Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Spoiler alert.
And one baby gets crushed.
Humans are eaten.
That won't happen in a Jurassic Park movie.
No, it's going to be more of a talk piece. They're gonna support group sort of feel your feelings.
More of a mystery, like what's going on?
Yeah, it's a whodunit. It's a dinosaur whodunit.
Anything from jewelry to macadamia nuts.
That's our show, everybody. Thank you to Aaron Brungardt and the ones and twos of the beautiful All Things Comedy World Headquarters. Aaron K. Foley, thank you so much for being on our program.
Thank you.
I like saying program. Like I'm 90. My name's Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first. Surf Nazis must die.